This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. فتبسم ضاحكا من قولها وقال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأدخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد. Today I am in Surah An-Naml. This is the 27th Surah of the Quran and this is ayah number 19. It's part of the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. I made brief reference to Sulaiman alayhi salam yesterday when I talked about how Allah Azza wa Jal in another place in the Quran mentions him and right after him mentions Ayyub alayhi salam. We talked about Ayyub alayhi salam yesterday. Today we're looking at the opposite end of the spectrum. The incredible kingdom and the incredible power that was given to Sulaiman alayhi salam is described in the ayah before the one I talked to you about tonight. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلِ أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. When his armies would move, even the ants would talk to each other, the army of Sulaiman is approaching. Allah Azza wa Jal Allah had given him the ability to even understand the communication of the insects. And he heard this, and Allah, and you know, other places we learn, birds, jinn, the winds, you know, all kinds of control was handed to Sulaiman alayhi salam, essentially a kind of power that was never given to another human being physically before. This kind of ability had never been handed to any other human being in the past. And thus he had a kingdom that cannot be compared. This is really the unique place of Sulaiman alayhi salam among prophets. And so he sees this, another expression of his power. And of course, what are ants compared to him? And it made him laugh. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا. He thought it was funny, but it's more than that. It's actually, you know, when things, everything is going right and everything is under your control. And for example, for one of you, there's a business and you started it and you were struggling in the beginning and everything is taking off. And you put in a little bit of money and everything you touch turns to gold. Like you put in 1,000, you got 100,000 back. You put in you took another risk and that worked out too. You took another and it worked out too. Victory after victory after victory. When you hear good news again, you're like, yeah, that one too. You kind of get used to victories. And you get used to things coming into play and falling into place as you expect them. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal tests us with difficulty. Other times He tests us with continuous success. Things just keep falling into place and everything lines up exactly as you would like it to. And it makes you happy. Obviously, when things go exactly as you were expecting, then it is cause to be happy. It's human nature. And so it's after that happiness, how can that happiness turn into poison? And how do you keep that happiness from not letting it cross the line that Allah doesn't want it to cross? You see, being overjoyed or being happy over any form of success or any expression of success is okay. But it's actually what's going on inside the heart that Allah checks, not what's happening outside. You know, even Qarun, in the next surah after this one, is Qarun who has a lot of power. In this surah, Sulaiman alayhi salam has power and control. In the next one, Qarun has a lot of power and control. And he was happy too. He was actually, you know, happy over his wealth. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes that the people advised him, لا تفرح, don't be overjoyed, don't be so happy. But here, Sulaiman alayhi salam is happy. But so there's actually a contrast being made. There's a kind of happiness that's okay, and there's a kind of happiness that's not okay. And so the kind that's okay, how do you balance that happiness and not let it become something that Allah isn't pleased with, is balanced by the words of Sulaiman alayhi salam. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِنْ قَوْلِهَا وَقَالَ رَبِّي أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. The first part of his dua now. He says, my master, empower me. And I'll spend a little bit of time describing awza, but for now, I'm just saying, empower me to be grateful for your favor that you've done to me. That's what he's saying first. And then he says, and empower me to be grateful to the favor you've done also to both of my parents. Okay, so first, make me grateful to you, and then make me grateful to you for the favor you did to me, and for the favor you did to both of my parents. Let's talk a little bit about the word awza.
In the Arabic language, wazir is actually used originally for, you know, there's someone in charge in any military to make sure the lines are all straight for the soldiers and the ranks are very clear. And anybody who's falling or faltering off is pushed to the front and they're disciplined. So the one who's in charge of the sufuf and the taswiyah of the sufuf, the lining up of the sufuf, he's actually called a wazir. The one who makes sure that things are aligned and gathered together. From it, you get the meaning, one of the words that's used for a group that's always together and nobody of that group ever leaves. They're called awza' in Arabic. This is the word used to describe how, on Judgment Day, human beings are going to be gathered, a huge, massive gathering. And when a huge, massive gathering happens, one of the people might think, you know, there's too big of a crowd, maybe I can escape, nobody will notice. But Allah says, فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. He uses the word yajma'un. He also uses the passive form yuza'un multiple times in the Qur'an to describe. They will be gathered and no one of them can actually fall back. And they'll be gathered in perfect discipline. Saffan la yatakallamun. The sharh of that is also fahum yuza'un. This is also the word that's used for Sulaiman alayhi salam when he used to call for an assembly of all of his armies. All the birds, all the animals, all the jinn, all the human soldiers, all of them. They were also yuza'un. They were also gathered in perfect discipline. So that's the first meaning of it, to gather all of your forces, to gather everything that you have in one in perfect order. And every soldier stands exactly where they're supposed to stand. Everyone knows their place. Who's supposed to be in front of me, who's supposed to be behind me. When things are organized perfectly with no fault, that's one of the first meanings of the word waza. From it also, from interesting implications from the word waza, there's two other things. It's to push someone forward. Again, it goes back to that discipline. Somebody's falling back, you push them forward. Okay? And then finally from its meaning is أَوْلَعَهُ أَوْلَعَ بِهِ is to actually make someone love something and make someone passionate about something and make someone obsessed with something. So these are some of the meanings of the word أَوْزَعَ. Now I translated it as empower me to be grateful. But what it actually means is gather every ounce of strength that I have, Ya Rab, every bit of focus that I have, every talent that you've given me, turn all of it into a means of being grateful to you. أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ. No matter what I do in life, whether it's professional, in terms of my education, in terms of my personal life, in terms of my eating, in terms of my sleeping, whatever I do, make me someone who can focus all of my activities in some way or the other to become a reason for me to be grateful to you. Don't let me ever forget that whatever's happening is happening because of your gift. This is أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ. And it was important because, you know, for an important man like Sulaiman alayhi salam, who's not just a prophet, he's also a king. He's also a general. He's also in charge of so many. And he's got the language that nobody else understands. So, you know, it's not like the birds, later on in the story, we learn that birds report to him. It's not like they can report to someone else and then he gets the summary of the report. He's the only one who can speak to them. Right? So, he's in charge of a lot. And when there's a lot on your mind, then Allah can be forgotten easily. Because you're doing so many things. You're busy with so many tasks. And he's asking Allah, of all the powers that you've given me, all the things that you've gathered for me, the thing that I need gathered is my focus. My focus to remember you for every single favor, and that's why the singular is used, not an'um or an-ni'am, ni'matak allati an'amta alayya, for your favor that you favored me with. Meaning every single favor, I consider a special favor. And I don't want to overlook any one of those favors when it comes to you. No matter how busy or how successful I become, it's very easy for successful people, powerful people, busy people, when victories come, that they can forget who the victory is coming from. They start, if not verbally, subconsciously start attributing the victory to themselves. And so he first reminds himself, as soon as he smiled at the army, at the ants that are even afraid of his army, that he said, this is not my power, this is, Ya Allah, make me grateful for what you've honored me with. You know, compare this to the gardener in Surah Al-Kahf who thought, Allah is really happy with me, that's why I'm so successful. Next thing you know, the entire garden is gone. Everything's taken away. So he says, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ أَلَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Then he adds, after saying that this is a favor you did for me, he adds, وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. This is really important too. You see, Allah in the Qur'an says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be grateful to me and be grateful to both of your parents. Meaning, how do you know if you're truly grateful to Allah? One of the basic litmus tests, if you can ask yourself, am I truly grateful to Allah, is to ask yourself, of any good that your parents have done. Forget the bad. I mean, some people have abusive parents. Some people have, you know, parents that have done dhulm to them. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam's father kicked him out of the house. Fir'aun was basically a stepfather to Musa alayhi salam, right? And he did a lot of dhulm. But at least the things he did right, you don't forget. At least those you acknowledge. So he says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ. So in terms, and those of us that have been blessed with good parents, that to remember the good that our parents have done for us, our mother especially has done for us, this is actually a core part of being grateful to Allah Himself. And then for us to recognize that no matter what I am, He could be the king of the world. And literally He was. Right? He was the king of the world. To remember that He was nothing when His parents were raising Him. He was nothing when He was being fed. He was nothing when He was being cared for and taken care of. Because at that time he wasn't a king. Our parents, they took responsibility for us. رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Actually, the more successful you become, what happens to people? They become professionally successful, financially successful, politically successful, and their parents have retired. And when the father has retired, the mother has retired, they're not socially as important as you are now. You're the breadwinner for the house. You're the one bringing the paycheck. You're the one paying for their medical bills. You're the one taking care of everything. And at that moment, you start thinking, they should be grateful to me for everything I'm doing for them. And here you are turning to Allah and saying, Ya Allah, you did me a favor, but that favor was impossible if you didn't do my parents a favor. If you didn't favor my parents, they wouldn't have brought me up in Islam. If you didn't bring my parent, give my parents that favor, I wouldn't have been provided the rizq of dunya, which is food, shelter, clothing, and all of these things, or the rizq of the deen, the akhirah. I wouldn't have gotten it if it wasn't for my parents. And those of you that are blessed with Muslim parents, even think of that. Some of you have non-Muslim parents. Some of you have parents that haven't accepted Islam. Some of you have parents that hate your Islam. That happens too. But even in those cases, if there's one thing, even if you have no relationship with your parents, if there's something good that they did, at some point, just to even acknowledge that much as a slave of Allah is incumbent on you. You have to think of that. And you know, so أَوْزِعْنِي أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. And then he says, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا. And that I do good deeds. It's Sulaiman alayhi salam. Oh, of course he's going to do good deeds. If his armies are going to fight, they're going to fight for the sake of Allah. If he's going to conquer, it's going to be for the sake of Allah. If he's going to judge, it's going to be judging with justice. He's doing good deeds. But he adds a qualification. Empower me, give me focus that I do good things. Tardahu. Two things I want to highlight here. One, when you become successful, it's easy to start doing bad things. Because nobody can question you. Right? Nobody can ask you. You know, they say power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Right? So it's easy for a police officer to become corrupt. Who's going to stop me when I cut a red light? Who's going to stop me when I speed? Right? So they can exercise that power. So the same way, when you have some power in your world, maybe you're just a manager. That's a power too. In a store, you're just a manager. You could become Fir'aun just in the little shoe store. You could do that. Why not? So when he recognizes that I have been given this ability, Ya Allah, make sure I use this ability to do good, salihan, to fix things, to make things right. This is why you have gifted me this ability. When Allah has given you power, authority, control, influence over others, use it for something good. Put it to work. The things Allah has given you are not a fitna. They are actually powers Allah gave you so that He could see, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So He could test you, who does better? Who does better? And what you've been given, nobody else has been given. So he says, أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا, that I can do good. But he adds something. He adds tardahu, that you are happy with. Give me the ability to do good that you are happy with. Now what does that mean? Obviously, good deeds is something Allah is happy with, so why even add tardahu? Tardahu here suggests there are sometimes we do good things, everybody else appreciates them. Everybody else acknowledges them. A king is just, everybody praises the king. A king is a conqueror, everybody praises the king. He conquered, he brought more victory to our lands. But even if everybody else is appreciating it, but in my heart, I'm not attributing those opportunities to do good deeds as a gift from Allah. I start thinking, I've done this much good. I've accomplished this much. I've done so much for others. I've done these a'mal khayriyah. I've done all these good deeds. Alhamdulillah. Wait, that's not a really alhamdulillah. That actually means that somehow people acknowledging me and people praising me and all of that stuff has gotten to my head and I start thinking I'm something. I'm not. Those good deeds mean nothing if they weren't done to make you happy. And the only way, if I do them to make you happy, then I know you'll be happy with me and you'll be happy with my good deeds. It's radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. It's both ways. So just to remember all the time why you're doing what you're doing. And that short reminder is a very scary one, because there are two things that happen when we do good deeds. Like, for example, if you started volunteering your time, maybe you're volunteering to help children, maybe you're volunteering at a masjid, you're volunteering at some humanitarian cause, whatever you're volunteering at. Either people really appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate you. We pray for you. And they're praising your work and all of that. That can get to your head. Now you start doing it because of the acknowledgement. And then the other happens, nobody appreciates you. I did all these hours of voluntary work and nobody even came up and said thank you. I cleaned up all this place and I did all of this after the iftar and I took care of all the kids' messes and all of that, and not one person even said salam to me. Nobody even acknowledged. Forget it, I'm never volunteering here again. In both cases, you were looking for acknowledgement from somewhere else. You were looking for someone else to be happy with you. Not that people shouldn't be grateful, but you and I should be clear why we're doing what we're doing. The criticism of people or the lack of appreciation of people should not demotivate us, and their appreciation shouldn't necessarily encourage us. Because we're clear, we're doing this because Allah is happy. وَنَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. And so after that dua, he makes that final bit of dua, which is a piece of humility, and I want to include that in these few minutes that we have together. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Beautiful words. Enter me, especially from your mercy. The Arabic students here that are graduating know, بِرَحْمَتِكَ here is مُقَدَّم. It's earlier than expected. أَدْخِلْنِي فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ. But it's أَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That taqdeem, that pushing of that prepositional phrase earlier, what does it suggest? Especially by your mercy. I'm of all the things I want, there's one thing I want more than everything else, especially by your mercy, allow me to enter into the company of your good servants. فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Your righteous slaves. What is he asking? Put this in perspective. You know, he's probably the biggest VIP alive at the time. Right? Everybody else would have an opportunity to meet with him. Like, I can't wait. If I ever got to meet him, how amazing would that be? And in his mind, the VIPs are someone else. In his mind, Ya Allah, if you could give me the special, you know, who would the king of the world want to meet? Like, people want to meet him. Who does he want to meet? Nobody's more important than him. And he turns to Allah and says, your good slaves, basically the good slaves that have already been entered into Jannah, and the good slaves that are in this world right now. It could be a farmer, it could be someone on the street, it could be someone who sells, you know, fruit. It could be someone has no money, but they're righteous people. Ya Allah, give me the special mercy of yours that you surround me with those people. Allow me the privilege of being around good people. And this is what he understands as the real VIPs, the really important people in life. This is a true rizq. And why is that important? Because this part of the dua is twofold. Ya Allah, give me the company of such good people in this world, regardless of their status. If they're millionaires or billionaires or not, if they're political leaders or not, that doesn't matter. If they're good people and they're your servants, I want to be around them. And in the akhirah, that's going to be even more important. None of the status that we have in this world. The millionaire will not wake up on Judgment Day a millionaire. The president will not wake up a president. The beggar will not wake up a beggar. When we wake up on Judgment Day, those roles that we had in this life are all gone. The only thing that matters, قَلْبٌ سَلِيمٌ عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, your righteous slaves. That's all that matters. Were we righteous slaves of Allah, good slaves of Allah that did good deeds? So he asks Allah, that VIP gathering, I want to be part of that gathering in the Akhirah. And so from that, what we learn is that, you know, in the beginning how he said, make sure that I remain grateful, essentially, and I don't lose focus on being grateful. At the end, he's actually asking Allah the key to that. He recognizes the key to that is to be around people that are grateful, around people that are good. Your company matters. Even if it's a company of one person. Maybe you don't have a company of 1,000 people. Maybe the only company you have is just one or two people in your life. And now that company's even become easier. Maybe, you know, it's very easy to find bad company online. It's extremely easy. But it's also possible to find good company. You're living somewhere in the outskirts, somewhere you're the only Muslim there. You can connect to other Muslims online. You can do that now. There are other ways to connect to people that Allah did not make available to people before us. He didn't. So now there's no excuse to find good people that you can truly be connected with and remain connected with. And how will you know that they're good people? The more you're with them, you become grateful for everything else in life. Like, you know, there are friends you're with, you talk to them, and you guys just sit there complain about everything. You complain about work, you complain about family, you complain about issues, you complain about your feelings, you complain about the weather, complain, 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 complain. All right, talk to you later. right? That's your friendship. But if you are among friends, that when you're with them, that they remind you what they should be grateful for, and you remind them what they should be grateful for, and even when you're discussing your problems, you remind each other, even through these problems, there are things we need to be grateful for. It could have been so much worse. What are we learning from this? What guidance is Allah giving us from this? When you have friends like that, they are ibadika salihin, because they're empowering you, they're enabling you to be grateful for what you have. And they're the ones that will enable you. What's another litmus test according to the ayah? Those are the kinds of friends that remind you, hey, did you call your mom? Did you call your dad? How'd you do today? Did you get into a fight with them? Did you go apologize? That's a real friend. These are ibadika salihin. Because our good is to Allah, and our gratitude is to Allah, and also to our parents. If we're asking Allah to reward our parents for the favor Allah has done to them, then clearly we have a soft heart towards our parents also. May Allah Azza wa Jal enable us to be good to everyone around us, and actually help us to find righteous company within our family, within our friends, within our society. And may Allah Azza wa Jal enter us into the company of the righteous in this world and in the next world. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.